would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
St. John Forward Radio is what you meant to listen to, and that has been corrected. This is the first time I've been live in a couple of weeks. The last couple episodes were pre-records because of the holidays. So, of course, I left my house at the very last minute tonight to get here right on time, to be on time, and then my key card didn't work, so I had to make an extra detour down to security. This is a very, very exciting background details for St. John Forward Radio. Let's just get into it. We're here Monday night, 9 to 10. I just discovered how to, I'd been making Facebook ads for comedy shows for forever, because I'm an old pro at making Facebook ads. And Facebook told me that I could just hit a button and make it go on Instagram too, and I wasn't really sure how that happened, but I had to actually sign into my Instagram, and I didn't have a password because I had to log into it with Facebook. So anyway, I had to do a password reset on Instagram again. This is very compelling. But which meant I had to go sign into my old Hotmail account to retrieve my password. It's an email address that I only use to log into things. I don't check it. I had like 7 million emails. What brings me to the topic tonight is I saw in my drafts folder. I don't know if I'm pretty sure I sent these, so I don't know why they're in my drafts folder, but I found some circa, I think it was 2003, a couple of emails that I had sent an old flame of mine after the end of our relationship. I don't know what happened to email number one, but I found email number two, and I'm not proud of this, it's super embarrassing and personal, and that's my game. So I'm just going to read you the email word for word, just to show you how chill I am and was. So, and if this goes well, I'll read email part three next week, maybe. Now, Sarah, I have tried to remember this girl's last name, but I can't. I've given up any hope of you letting me see you anytime soon. I still have a lot of questions that I need answers for. If you can't bring yourself to let me ask them in person, please just take a little while to read this and respond. You've told me so many different versions of everything, it's getting impossible to decipher what the truth is. Be mature. And just tell me how it is. If you don't want to be with me, fine. If you don't even want anything to do with me, fine. But I've given you the past few months of my life. All I ask in return is for you to take a few minutes to help clear some things up. First off, I want to know what train of thought led you to start thinking, quote, "It just didn't feel right," end quote, or how you, quote, "can't be with someone like me." All I know is, the last couple of times I saw you, everything seemed to feel right. On the Friday, you said that me showing up at work to give you a hug made your day. Then when I saw you, you couldn't keep your hands off me. I'm not complaining, I'm just confused how you went from that to this. Even the next night, you were in a really bad mood, but still wanted me to kiss you goodnight and hold my hand for the ride home. I don't understand how you can just all of a sudden decide that it doesn't feel right, especially after not seeing me for a week. Is that it? Did you want to break up a long time ago, but always caved when you saw me? That would explain why you've been avoiding me. When you told me you just wanted to be friends, I was fine with that, clearly. It wasn't anything to do with me, or so I thought. You just needed some time to figure out whether you wanted a serious relationship. I thought we were just going to start over, be friends. And maybe after a while, you'd have learned to trust me, and maybe want to get back together. We could have started over and done it right. Even if we didn't get back together, it would have been a great friendship. I could handle losing you as a girlfriend, but it's really hard for me to let you go altogether. So at first, it seemed like you obviously had feelings for me. It was just a matter of whether you wanted a boyfriend. Now, however, it's all about me not being good enough for you or something. Based on the way you've been talking and your MSN name, in quotes, it must be love, I wouldn't be at all surprised if you had another guy already. If you do, just tell me. If you found someone better who can take you away on weekends and has a car, just tell me. Don't give me the shit you've been feeding me. Of course, if I'm wrong, I'm sure you're having a good laugh about this. I hope so. You said you can't be with someone like me. What is that supposed to mean, someone like me? Someone who cares about you, maybe too much? Someone who will tell you the truth instead of what you want to hear? I've done plenty for you. You'd rather have someone with a car. I don't even remember not having a car or having fights about it, but anyway. Someone who can help you get back with your old friends? I might not agree with your reasons, but I think I deserve to know what's so wrong with me. If it's something that can be changed, I'd like to know better so I don't make the same mistakes with the next girl. As far as I've known, I've been the perfect boyfriend. You even told me so not too long ago. So I have to wonder what you're talking about when you say it doesn't feel right or that I'm not the right kind of person for you. Whatever your reasons for not wanting to date me anymore, it's even more confusing why you've been treating me like shit lately. I thought that even if the relationship didn't last, our friendship would. You claim that you want the same thing, but you're doing everything you can to stop that from happening. Every time you don't call or blow me off, you have 10 different excuses. You tell me that you aren't purposely pushing me aside, but then you tell me that it's exactly what you told your mom. I don't know what I'm talking about. You were too sick to call me once over the March break? You seemed to have no problem calling me the next week after Leah told you I was upset. Saturday alone, you had a bunch of different excuses. One, you forgot. Two, you wouldn't have been able to get a hold of me if you tried. Three, you didn't want to call me because I'm not at all important to you anymore because you're hanging around with your old friends, and I don't deserve the effort. Four, you were doing me a favor by letting me get high and make everything feel better. Which is it? I don't think any of them are good reasons at all, but which was it? Just because you have your old friends back, I don't remember this old friends business, it doesn't mean that you should fuck over this friendship. Seeing me for one night would not have jeopardized that friendship, but the way you've been acting is making this one impossible to exist. How much more of this is there? Oh my god. Let's rush through this, and I'll dial down the acting a little bit. I also have my doubts about why I couldn't come over to your house. I wasn't dating you anymore when your dad offered to drive me home. I had already called a cab, so it's not like he was expected to. It was even his suggestion that I should have called to see if you just wanted him to bring me over to your place. Whatever he thinks of me, if it is really your parents that don't want me over, it's because you've stretched the truth to make me look bad. You may have not have lied, but you never told the whole truth. Admit it or not, it's the truth. After the whole smoking thing, you told me how you went around asking everyone about it, and the general consensus was that it was none of my business, and that you should be able to do whatever you wanted, and they don't understand why I tried to stop it. I found this really doubtful. Even someone who does smoke, I'm talking about cigarettes, would never encourage you to start and even think that I should be completely okay with it. Well, I talked to Leah, so she never said any such thing. She also told me you failed to mention the fact that you told me that if I let you have that second cigarette, it would be your last. I was never really that mad about the actual smoking. I was going to try to stop it, though. I was mad because you lied to me. Come on. Three more paragraphs. Is this compelling enough to continue? What do you think? We've got to finish it out for sure. Completionist's sake. You lied to me when you said we'd eat out that time. You lied to me when you said that we'd get to spend a day together over the March break. You lied to me when you say that you feel bad about all of this. The list goes on and on. I don't want to point out how horrible you are. I just want you to realize that even when you think you're telling the truth, it's still lying if you only tell one side of the story that makes you look like a victim. This is why I have doubts about why I'm not allowed in your house. There's more to it than your parents have no reason to put up with me since we aren't dating. It's due to whatever version of the truth you told them. You may have told them about the shit in my email about you smoking, working, etc. It's true, but it's not the whole story. I was pissed when I wrote that, and I apologize. That's why I sent you the second email. You'll probably tell them how I wouldn't leave you alone today, and that I've been calling a lot. All true. But I doubt that's what you've told them, or that you've told them why I've been calling, that you've been continually blowing me off, and that you're taking away a really important friendship. You seem to be okay with all of this, but it's really hard for me. I can handle losing you as a girlfriend. I'm having a really hard time losing you completely. After the past few weeks, I wouldn't want to get back together anyway. You're a different person now, and I don't much like the way you've been acting. You are probably my best friend, and I don't want to lose you. As horrible as you've been lately, I'll never forget about the good times we had. I wish we could go back to that, but you don't seem to want to. Coming in for the home run at the end. So please just answer me truthfully. I might not like what I hear, but at least I'll know the truth. None of this is meant to make you feel bad, and I think it probably was. I doubt you do anyway. I either want to save the friendship or at least end it on a somewhat good terms. I don't want us to start hating each other. John, the end. Well, that was uncomfortable for everyone involved. Probably also my guest, Chris Hovey, here sitting across from me enduring this. How are you doing? That was the mic.
I'm out?
I think so.
Good. That was wild. That read like evidence in a restraining order hearing.
It's definitely a little needy and demanding.
So it sounds like, and I'm hoping that was high school, John. But my fear
that
is
was that early. Was like, that was third year university.
Okay, my fear was like that was like 3 years ago. And
no, that was okay. Closer to 15 years ago.
You've grown a lot since then.
I have. This is not the only long-winded post, sort of breaking up with somebody who didn't owe me anything email that I've sent in my life.
I mean, to me, it sounds like Leah was the problem.
Leah was our manager. We worked at the Sobeys in Fredericton together, and was kind of our go-between, like, common friend. I was working at Sobeys, and I had this girl had a boyfriend, which is also kind of a pattern for me. And it was like an abusive relationship. So I came in as the hero.
Naturally.
And gave her an opportunity to leave her bad situation to enter a whole new bad situation with me.
From abusive to needy.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of the issues. I don't remember if I even... I must have smoked weed while I was with her, but I don't think I smoked when she was around or anything. I wasn't like a hardcore pothead at the time, I don't think. That was third year of my physics degree. I gotta stay sharp.
I mean, it sounds like you were a no-car-having bum that...
Well, yeah, I don't remember the circumstances, because I had a car since I graduated high school, but I do remember there was a period where I was taking the bus to school when I was in Fredericton for some reason, so I think I was between cars. I think one of them just broke down, but I remember going to pick her up all the time. I don't, it must have been in my dad's car. I have no idea. It's all very nebulous. But yeah, she basically ghosted me for a while and would not give me the truth that I was seeking. But anyway, I'm over it now, so we're going to take a quick musical break and going to come back with some more Chris Hovey. I'm just going to keep on talking for a second here while I cue up the song, which is dedicated to Sarah. I don't remember I don't know why I don't remember her last name. I haven't had many serious girlfriends, and she was one of the few, and cannot remember. I've tried to stalk her on Facebook just to see what she's up to, but I do not remember her last name, and Sarah is not a lot to go by. So, Sarah, if you're listening, this is for you, baby. Oh, wait.
You know, for someone who's a weekly radio show, you'd think you would have this down pat.
People are messing with the board. I did everything right. One of the buttons was clicked off that should have been clicked
always
on.
Always someone else's fault.
It is.
This is probably one of the problems Sarah had with you. It was always someone else's
probably.
Fault.
Probably. I need to send an email to the radio station demanding answers as to who turned off the source button on the auxiliary pot. But for now, Sarah, this is for you. That's right. These tears, they're no longer for you, Sarah, unknown last name. We're back on St. John Forward Radio with my guest Chris Hovey. We were talking off mic about a tale of broken hearts from his past. Do you want to elaborate? Do you want to get into it?
Maybe
we don't have to.
I mean, you've teased it now, though. Is the problem?
Well, are you man enough?
Well, am I man enough?
Can we do it without? I didn't get. Oh,
we got a phone call.
Oh, we got. Let's see if this works. Let's see if this works. Hello, you're on the air. I think.
You think?
Yes, it works.
First
successful phone call in a long time.
Is this the John Forward?
Yes, this is the John Forward.
Hey, are you there with the Chris Hovey?
I am.
Is he on air already?
Yeah,
I am here. Yeah.
Oh, what's up, Chris?
Hi. Caller?
Yes, caller. I have a question for Mr. Chris Hovey.
Hang on. Is this the coward Drake Tobias?
Okay, it is.
I was trying to place the voice. I could recognize it, but I wasn't sure where.
What do you want, Drake?
I want you to know that I am going to put you in a mental hospital on January 14th. No, you can't request a song.
What?
What are you talking about? Dude, on for our roast battle?
Oh, you mean your public execution?
My public execution.
Yeah.
Where's this happening? I wasn't aware of this this battle going down.
Well, if Drake had read the messages we'd received from Matt, he would know that it was supposed to be something of a surprise.
But let's be honest, nobody listens to the show.
St. John Forward Radio scoop.
Let's be honest, nobody listens to the show.
Hey, come on.
In worst case, John could edit it out.
I'm not going to do that.
But we can do some live smack talk right now.
I feel like you couldn't stand me having attention for any amount of time, so you had to call in and step on it.
I mean, as soon as I did see, I did kind of had to call in and step on it.
Right.
What were you guys talking about? I was kind of busy, but then I just tuned in now.
We were going to get into some raw nerves, but it was interrupted by a phone call. Did you hear my intro, or are you just tuning in late?
Yeah, I'm tuning in late. I was at my parents' house cleaning.
Yeah, of course.
Your timing could not have been worse.
Skip the monologue.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I just tuned in, and I was like, oh, shit, it's Chris Hovey, and I had to call in.
I didn't even give out the phone number yet. You're hardcore.
I know. I literally looked it up on the website. I hit play, and I was like, wait, there's a phone number. I looked it up on the website.
648-5925 for everyone else.
Yeah, listeners.
Ooh, if Sarah, whose last name we don't know, is listening.
Yeah.
She should call in.
Give us
her last name and her side of the story.
I think the most recent update I got for her was when I think I was going through my Hotmail account and everybody has kind of a profile or something, and there was something in there where she had like a shirt like semi-open with the cleavage in the middle and some sort of comment where I think that she had taken up being a stripper.
Anonymous cleavage stripper Sarah.
Yeah.
That's all we know is her name is Sarah.
I wonder if she turned into Diamond. That would be an interesting twist on the John Forward story.
But then I wonder if she has a GED and if she's a stripper, because then it would be full circle
actually,
for your joke.
I started dating her in university and she had dropped out of high school.
Oh, wow.
Probably by now has a GED.
Yeah,
hopefully, Sarah. I hope you got your act together.
We want the best for. Should I just go and Drake and John can do the?
Do you have any?
I do got a question for Chris.
All right.
I do have a serious question for Chris. What is your main inspiration for the roast on Sunday?
Just my pure unadulterated distaste for you and everything you stand for.
So what does that include?
Oh, so you want me to
Give him a heads up on all the jokes that you're going to tell?
Yeah, no, I'll just, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll just give you, right.
Yeah, it's anonymous.
Do you want to just do a practice run right now?
Sure. No, I can't do that. Hey, John, you want to know something great about the roast battle?
Sure.
I work with one of Chris's ex-lovers.
Okay.
This is accurate, actually.
Is it the same one?
All right.
Wow, this
is a good intro.
This whole show is just
You're turning it around,
something.
Drake. Tell us about her, and then we're going to talk about her more.
So this girl actually sits directly across from me. And as soon as I mentioned that I was having a roast battle with Chris Huffey, it was like the floodgates had opened.
She gave me some dirt?
Oh, I'm so excited. Chris thinks that he... But, like, also, John, I mean, because I'm a nice guy, like, is it too much to kind of get dirt from his ex-lover?
No, take it where you can get it. There's no rules.
But, like, Chris's only fans are his family, so his family's going to be there, and I don't want to make it awkward, right?
You want to make it super awkward. That's how you destroy a roast battle.
It's true.
You have to make them regret even showing up.
Now, Chris, John, you want to hear something weird?
I thought you were going to ask Chris a question. Say something that allows him to participate.
So Chris, what is the most scared you are for the dirt that I have found? Anything that you don't want me to go on because it would be too awkward for your family? Any story that you want to present to the live crowd right now that would be too awkward?
No, I don't think so.
So, live on the radio, anything that you don't want said in front of 10 people.
I think your ammunition might not be as high caliber as you think, pal.
I don't know, man. I got some good stuff.
All right, well.
Like, I'm just wondering, like, because I do appreciate you as a friend. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your talent in comedy. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to make anything awkward in front of your friends and family.
Right.
Then you're doing it wrong.
I agree.
I do. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go gloves off, we can go gloves off entirely.
Oh, that is true.
That is true.
You don't know dirt on me, though.
I know some dirt, and Chris probably knows you better than I do.
John, you know some dirt on me? Can you roast me right now live on air?
I don't know if you want that.
Why not?
No, I could say something. I don't know if it's funny or mean.
Just say it. Nothing's mean. Hey, you know what? You want to learn from Darren Frost? It's all about your intention. Remember, if you're telling a joke to be mean, you're telling it for the wrong reason. So John's like, yeah, I'm not going to tell that joke.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well.
The moment's passed. It's been built up too much. It wouldn't have been that good.
Yeah, so I thought I'd call in and get some promotion for the roast battle to the three listeners that are listening to.
So when's that? Sunday After Dark, I assume?
Sunday After Dark. This coming Sunday.
Sunday.
Be there to watch two fat guys try to eat a roast. That's what's going to happen.
There's only going to be two fat guys there?
I find that hard to believe. St. John comedy scene. There's going to be at least half a dozen fat guys there.
Is Godso going to be there? I don't even know if he's like a fat guy or just a fat kid stuck in a man's body.
He's got a beard.
But yeah, it's like... Actually, I think it's a fat man stuck in a kid's body.
How about you let us do the show and you find something else to do?
All right, yeah, sorry. I just thought I'd call in and let everybody know.
Thank you for your interest and participation, Drake Tobias.
Yeah, dude, I listen, so I mean, I am a loser, but yeah, I support it. Ever since I was on it, I've been supporting it.
All right.
In the last 2 weeks, we're friggin' pre-recorded, John.
Sorry I didn't come in here on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. I would have come in on New Year's Day, but Mark and Arif had to go get hammered at the show in Miramichi and didn't want to risk it.
You've disappointed me and your fans, John.
I know. And then and then we just ate up like 10 minutes with Drake Tobias' phone call. I'm never going to recover from this.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll let you guys go.
All right.
I will see you on Sunday, Chris.
All right, try not to commit suicide between now and then.
I won't. Also, if you haven't promoted on Wednesday, there is a show at the on campus featuring, it's a new stand-up show, and Dan Terrio is throwing it.
Yeah, I think John Forward and Chris Hovey are going to be on that and probably already plan to talk about it.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Crap, I suck. I'm sorry. This is why I have no friends. All right.
Goodbye. I feel some technical difficulties coming on. There. All right,
there
then.
We go.
Do we need a palate cleansing break? I think after that
a song might be nice.
All right. Well, what do you want to set up your song? I think that I had it on my playlist here.
I hope so.
Yeah. I got it. Do you want to tell us about it?
It's just a song I like. I saw the Trues at Imperial Theater. They put on a great show. So this is Ishmael and Maggie by the Trues
on St. John Forward Radio. Right after this station ID.
Hi, everybody. It's the Mayor of Comedy, Shane Ogden, and this is 107.3 FM. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hello, my name is Ishmael. Forget the one about the will. I'll tell you of a broken-hearted sailor.
We are back on St. John Forward Radio. We were about to get into some dirt, I guess, if we don't mind possibly giving Drake some more oh wait, hold on. I think I got something important here. This is not compelling radio. I'm very near the evacuation, it was, May just sent me a text saying it was, slightly expanded, so she's packing a bag. She's probably just being paranoid, but, anyway, hopefully my house doesn't blow up. So anyway, Chris.
And on that note,
we were talking failed relationships, and you've got one of note.
Yeah, let's do it. Hopefully, this will step on some of Drake's material, and we'll,
yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to take it away from him.
So you know, I too, John had some poor luck with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did not just give her a few months of my life like you did with Sarah.
I don't know. I think I was with Sarah for 6 to 8 months.
Six months. That's serious relationship territory.
Yeah.
Well, we were together 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We were in fact engaged.
Mm-hmm.
She was just a miserable person.
Always, or did she become more miserable?
Well, it's hard to tell.
Because like this one, in retrospect, I was like, "Oh yeah, that's a huge disaster." But in the moment, it was just blinders on.
No, toward the end of it, I was seeing things for what they were.
Yeah,
and she did me a big favor.
Mm-hmm.
She cheated on me.
Nice.
Made it very easy for me to just sort of kick her out of the apartment and take the ring back. And
how did you find out about the cheating?
Well, he found out about me. She managed to hide me for a while. He thought he had a new girlfriend. It was going on for a couple months.
Oh.
Yeah, and he threatened to come to me with the information. So she decided to get to me first. So called me at work, told me I had to come meet her, wouldn't tell me why. And then revealed the truth.
Oh, well, that's got to be... I don't know if there's a worse scenario for that kind of thing. Like, because if it's just like a one-time thing,
some people
maybe
can get over
okay
that. Yeah.
Or like if both people know that it's a fling and it's just that seems like she had another full-on
it was the best thing that could have happened to me, John. Oh, I was living this muted existence under her thumb, and then all of a sudden the prison doors were left open and I ran out into the new world in the blinding sun. And
what was your first act as a free man? Like, what was the first thing that you did, like, that you had a conscious, like, I'm going to do this now that I don't have that that baggage?
It was mid-December, and I tore down the Christmas tree.
Nice.
Yeah, that was my first. Tore it down, threw it out in the lawn. My immediate act of defiance.
I assume you were living together. How did did she move out?
Yeah, so it happened on a Tuesday. Stayed at her parents until Saturday, and then came and got her shit Saturday morning.
Did you stay in the place afterwards?
I did, yeah. I mean, it was my parents' basement apartment,
right.
I proceeded to live for the next probably 2 years down there.
Yeah, with mine was it started out dramatic because of the bad boyfriend situation she was in, and we were at like the office Christmas after party at somebody's house, and she was kind of like, I was just being a nice boy. And she'd, like, snuggle up and put, like, her head down on my shoulder, and she was probably inebriated, which is most of the reason for it. But anyway, I love the narrative of saving a girl from a bad relationship. I don't know.
Everyone wants to be the hero, right?
Well, yeah. Well, my current relationship was the same situation. but, yeah, that was, That's interesting. So, do you? Did they stay together?
There's a brief period where they weren't together, but they're back together now. And
okay,
they're engaged and everything else. And so, congratulations to the happy couple, I guess. And I don't know what she possibly could have told Drake, but I'm not too worried about it.
Well, do you have any theories that you want to just get out there so that that Drake can't use the material?
Not off the top of my head. If there's anything she's told him that's real good, it's something I didn't know about myself.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's going to be... If Drake just unloads like some like weird thing that you didn't know was a thing about yourself, then that's going to be...
That's unverifiable.
Well, I don't know. If maybe you have a weird penis. Is it possible?
Not like super weird. I mean, none of them are, like, normal, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know. I think to find out that you have a noticeably unusual penis during a roast battle
from Drake would be terrible.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Let's nip this in the bud now. If anyone's listening who has, in fact, seen my penis, please call in. Let us know. Weird penis, yes or no?
For the podcast, the thumbnail will be a picture of James Hovey's penis.
James Hovey's penis?
James Hovey, sorry.
No, I would much rather it be James's
okay,
penis.
That's what we'll go with. So that, yeah, I said the wrong first name and mispronounced the last name. Or I said the right thing on purpose.
Potentially. I'm causing a ruckus with the Hovey Hovey business.
Mm-hmm. Well, since Drake already spilled the beans about the hot scoop about Sunday Laughter Dark, I think that's... No, I was going to say that was the premiere of Laughter Dark, but I guess the Roast Battle finale would have technically been the first Laughter Dark. We might as well talk about our show that we've got around the corner here from the radio station coming up on Wednesday. What is the name of the show? Comedy on Campus? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Well, it's actually no. We'll talk about it later when I have the information pulled up on my phone and we don't have to have an awkward thing where I look it up.
Would have probably been the least awkward thing to have happened during this. He's waiting quietly for you to pull up the information.
Yeah, it's true, and I don't have a song queued up either, so it's going to be awkward no matter what.
Fair enough. I do have some information. Okay. It is here at Howard's.
Is the bar open regularly? Like, I never see anybody
in there on these nights.
I don't know.
Dan Terrio is organizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he's a better organizer than he's a stand-up. I'm kidding, Dan. I'm going to get a text about that. But no, he's organizing it, and John Scove Nielsen is also on the show, former John St. John Ford radio guest.
Yes.
Christmas Day, I believe.
Yep.
And we've got a newbie, Mitch Bernard, so hopefully he'll be...
Do you know anything about that guy? How did he...
I know some things about that guy, yeah.
How did he come into it? Has he been out to shows and stuff, or...?
Yeah, he's come out to some shows. He's actually been to a few of our shows.
Okay.
And we're friends, and he was interested in it, and he knew I was doing it, and asked about it, and Dan said that he had one more slot open on this show. So I said, don't fill it, and I offered it to Mitch, because I knew he wanted to, and
right.
He accepted before he could stop himself, so...
Yeah, and I'm on the show, too. I'm looking forward to it. At what point, when all of the... I forget when it happened. I think it was when the last flare-up of the Yuck Yucks beef, I think Dan sent me a message like asking if he was stepping on my toes by starting up another show, and I informed him that I guess he has my permission. He doesn't need it. And I'm on the show, so that would... I don't know. That seemed like a weird... Is that the vibe that I put off? We don't know each other very well. Do I seem like the type of person who would say, hey, can I be on your show, and then get mad that the show exists?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to put that to bed.
You're a lover of comedy, John. You're a supporter of the St. John scene. I mean,
it's true. I was, despite everything that's happened, I was more of a... more positive about Yuck Yucks coming before it happened. Now I've got good reason to not be. But anyway, we don't need to get into that. So I'm on the shows this Wednesday, which if you're listening to the podcast version, the day it comes out, that's tonight. Not a lot of notice, but if you're hardcore listening to it here live on Monday night, then you can hear that. But we're at about 9:44, I think. Let's take another quick break and play with something relevant. I've got nothing relevant, so I'm just going to... I'm just going to put my radio playlist on shuffle, and we'll just magically see what happens. I've got, like, 40 songs on here, and...
I respect the gamble.
Let's see what it is on St. John Forward Radio. Gord Downie.
Despair, the wind is in the trees, basically just waiting for something to come along and eat me. It's a speechless gate where my dreams retreat. No, my memories are just memories of memory. folded in a dream, pitch black and glowing blue, a raven saying, I know a way that I can help you. Stared into his eyes, I saw my pale last days, said what you can't escape, you gotta embrace. Oh, I know a way to get back, this don't have to end. A way to get back.
We're back on St. John Forward Radio with Gord Downie with a song from that's actually from a Christmas gift from last year, the Secret Path comic book collaboration with Jeff Lemire and Gord Downie, which I got it and I read through the book while listening to the album and it was okay. I'm never gonna look at it again. That was the songs that go with it were kind of interesting. But the songs themselves don't really hold up outside of the comic book narrative, I guess. That song was like the best song that works just as a song on the album, and listening to it now, I don't know. It's okay. I don't like it worth taking up 5 minutes of the show, though, because I'm here with Chris Hovey, the comedian with the largest fan base on the scene.
But as Drake pointed out, it is just friends, family, and coworkers. There's nobody who actually.
Well, we're I don't understand how you haven't alienated all the people in your life yet. Like most of, like when I started out, I had friends that came out to see me, but that dropped off within like 6 months.
It's dropping off a little bit. It's been about 6 months. It's dropping off some.
Okay. So has. Where do you work? Where are these coworkers from? If you want to say, I don't know.
I work with an engineering contractor.
Okay.
I drop pipe systems.
All right. So these are your engineering coworkers. Yeah. How do you got nowhere to go with that? I'm not sure.
No. You're the most comfortable person I've ever met you're okay with an anticlimactic ending to a story or a comment. So I read the comic books and I listened to the album and it was meh. It was fine. What was that?
Yeah, I don't know. I sometimes get going on something, and I feel like sometimes it's going to find itself just in the act of saying it out loud. And then when I get to the end, and there's just nothing coming, I'm just like, all right, I like this sentence that I just ended right now. I'm sorry. This was
a miserable way for us to decide to get to know each other. This is the longest conversation
we've been on shows together. There was one night where we almost hung out after Club Rewind.
Almost.
You guys. I had to go drop something off at my car, I think, after the first Club Rewind show, and I was going to meet you and Drake down at Pepper's, and I arrived at Pepper's and nobody was there, and I cannot describe how dejected I felt having been ditched by Drake Tobias. And then,
there is no lower insult than
even
Drake doesn't want to.
I figured you'd just gone somewhere else. I sent you and Drake a message that was not responded to. So I went to Pepper's. I watched the band and had one drink, and then I was going to head home. And then I got the message back saying that you were at wherever you were at, and I went down and. By then, you had two ships passing in the night.
I'm surprised you talked to me at all, John. That's genuinely upsetting.
What?
I'm sorry. I feel awful.
Oh, it's fine. In the moment, I was going to get a good story.
I mean, you felt the need to bring it up, John.
That's true. That's what I've been waiting for. This whole time.
This whole thing was a sting operation.
This whole thing.
Take me to task on air.
First, you go to a different place, And then when you tell me the new place, you leave before again. I get there. Unbelievable, Chris Hovey. But you're here anyway. You're the first person to take me up on in the Mandy Lynn Donovan episode. I mentioned how I don't like having to ask people to do things, and I prefer them to ask me, and you asked me. So in your wildest dreams of finally one day appearing on St. John Forward Radio, what's the conversation that you envisioned having?
It was exactly like this, word for word. This is...
It's eerie.
Everything I hoped for.
This is everything I dreamed for, too. If anybody wants to call in, 648-5925.
Throw it to the listeners for something interesting.
So we'll just dial back on the tired old comedy origins story questions. You started with John Scove Nielsen and some other people.
Yeah.
I think you're the second of the of that crew to be on this show. I've had John Scove Nielsen. I don't think anybody else has come on yet. If you're listening out there, rest of you, get at me and we can be on the show.
I'm honored to be runner up.
But you made a joke about how much of a fraud you are because you've got this huge following and stuff. I was not aware of the following. That first Eight Virgin show at the R Bar, it was a packed house, and I didn't know who was there for who. And I don't know if you listened to it or not, but I think on my episode after that show, I think I pegged you as one of the
I did catch a little bit of praise on that. Yeah, I did.
I think my selections were you and Tammy, who I don't think has done another show since.
I don't believe so. No.
I think she was supposed to do an R Bar once, but something came up and had to cancel.
She's a busy woman.
Yeah. She was at the R Bar yelling at me from the audience because I made a tampon joke.
Right. How dare you?
I know. I was trying to be inclusive to the ladies, but that's how it goes. So you started out with that big show at the R Bar. How did you get into the comedy orbit? Were you going out to shows before that? Like, how did you hear about the class?
Not really. So I was woefully undereducated in the local scene. Mm-hmm. As most people are. I always loved stand-up. Watched a lot of stand-up. Went to some shows in the Imperial Theater, that sort of thing. Some bigger names.
Who are your favorites?
That's tough. I'm a big fan of Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah, I don't
know if people know Mike. I like Mike. I really like Tom Segura lately.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a new special coming up next week, I think.
Yeah. But, I'd always sort of thought about it. And then I saw the ad for the Ken Bolton class and signed up before I could stop myself.
Right.
And after 6 weeks of coming in every Wednesday and essentially doing an open mic in front of seven other people, I had a hammered and polished 8-minute set and took it to the R Bar.
And did well. And like I said, it was everybody was... I think everybody did well that night, but
yeah.
it was a huge crowd. But I did single you out as one of the front runners, but now that you're kind of in the comedy scene, how's it different from what you thought it would be, or did you have any expectations coming in?
I don't know if I had if I would say I had expectations or not.
Had you been out to any local shows before you did one?
No, that's the problem.
Were you aware that they were happening?
Slightly. I'd seen No Jokes Barred advertised here and there, but it's an intimidating thing. You know, you're expecting it to be mostly people from the scene, and it is.
Mm.
And then to sort of come in as an outsider is, you know, a little intimidating to some.
To even show up as, like, just a fan to watch, I'm curious that perspective, because, like, if I was always a comedy fan, too, and if I, like, was aware that there was comedy stuff going on, I would have been all over it. So.
I always felt like everyone would be like, who is this guy who just showed up to... He's just here to watch? What kind of...
That's what we
pervert
want.
Just shows up to watch. Well, I understand that now, John, but at the time, I...
Yeah, I suppose. So you thought only comedians were allowed to come to
not
the comedy
allowed,
shows?
Not allowed, but I thought only comedians were in attendance. And unfortunately, that is the case sometimes, so...
It is, yeah. The way that I see that, like, I don't see it as, like, another show where it's all the comedians, but I see, like, the people that are doing comedy, I think, are the biggest comedy fans
Definitely.
In the city, so they're a good audience for the most part, and it's, much better. Like, I'd rather do a show for all of the St. John comedians than all of the comedians in pretty much any other scene that I've been in, where, I don't know. Like, the bigger the scene it is, I think the open mics just... everybody's just kind of tuning everybody out and just not paying attention at all. But I think here, more than anywhere else that I've dipped a toe in, we seem more supportive of each other.
Well, every show there's a sense of occasion, you know, because if there's only maybe one a week, right?
Yeah.
So every show there's a sense of, oh, this is something special, you know. It's not just another open mic, it's, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I've gone back and forth with that. Like, it'd be ridiculous to argue that being able to do more shows would not make you a better comedian. But I don't know if it's too hard to see, because I'm like on the inside of it. But I think just our the St. John is even different from I think Fredericton and Moncton. It just seems to have a certain style to it that I think has something to do with how infrequent the shows are, and I don't know if people focus more on their writing, I guess, or I don't know.
Well, personally, I'm afraid to bomb, because
a big bomb yet?
Not a big bomb. I've had a couple shows not go quite the way I've wanted to, but I haven't had a real hard fall yet. It's coming. It's always looming.
On the shows where you didn't do as well as you wanted to, was everybody doing badly? Or just you?
Not necessarily, no. Okay. There were a couple where I just missed the mark. Yeah. But, you know, I'm so afraid of the bomb, because I don't know when the next time I'll get up is, or, you know, maybe I've only got two shows that month, or whatever it is. So I feel like, personally, I put more preparation into, you know, learning the material and working on the material on my own before really taking it to the stage. Instead of just going up and going, well, I'm doing an open mic tonight, tomorrow night, and the night after, so I'll just go up and fart out whatever, and then...
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for going up and farting out whatever, because
absolutely.
I think there's lots of whatever farts that don't get farted out that never see the light of day that maybe we would have those.
Yeah, I mean, you also take fewer risks, right, when you're afraid to
Do
that like that.
But that brings us up pretty much to the end of the show, but we'll come back sometime, maybe after we've had a few conversations that don't involve microphones.
Jesus, all right. Time to mercy kill this thing?
Yeah, well, I don't have anything to play. We've got the Wednesday Howler show, and I was going to bring that up on my phone, and I didn't do it. So let's get the final lineup here, just so that we can give it a proper plug, because it's the first one. If you're on the fence, just come to this show, because like the first show is always an important thing, because if they haven't done it before, the bar is probably looking at how this one goes. And I don't know if this is a test or if it's already established as going to be a monthly thing, but if they are looking at it just to check it out, come to the first one and make a good showing so that they can continue going. We've got Thane Fox, Chris Hovey, John Scove Nielsen, Drake Tobias, Shand, Jason Hamilton, Brian Godso, Mitch Bernard, featuring John Forward. I'm not just saying that. That's what it says on the poster. Hosted by Dan Terrio. He's taking the gur out.
I think he's trying to drop the gur. Yeah, I think
it confuses me. I don't ever know how to introduce him.
I think it caused way more ruckus than you expected it to. It comes up a lot.
So the doors are open at 8:30 and the show's at 9. That's all I got this week. Our bar is going to be on January 20th. A couple of brand new people doing their first sets. At least one person who's been doing comedy that's doing their first Our Bar set. So that should be interesting. Chris Hovey, thank you for being on the show. And
thank you for having me.
This might be one of the more awkward episodes there's ever been.
Yeah, this is...
All right.
Yikes.
Good night.